Australia's GST is designed to be allocated fairly amongst its states and territories. However, there is contention over what fair actually means. Some states receive a much larger share than others, leading to ongoing debate and political tensions across the country. The Wire's Thomas Kutis asked Saul Eastlake, independent economist, consultant speaker and Vice-Chancellor's Fellow at the University of Tasmania, why the GST distribution is a problem for some states.
Well, it's because historically, grants from the federal government to the states that they can spend how they see fit, and since the introduction of the GST in 2000, the revenue from the GST have been distributed among the states and territories in such a way as to enable them to provide their citizens with the same range and quality of public services, things like schools, hospitals, policing, housing, community and child protection and the like, whilst levying on them similar burdens of state taxation. Now, that's not to say they had to do that. It was just to enable them to do that if they wished to. So the result of what the bureaucrats call horizontal fiscal equalization is that in Australia, it matters far less as to the quality of schooling that your kids get, the quality of healthcare that you and your family get, the quality of policing or environmental protection that your community gets, which state you live in, than it does in particular, the United States. And this is a principle that had governed the distribution of federal payments to Australia's states and territories from the mid-1930s, when the Grants Commission was established in the aftermath of Western Australia's secession referendum in 1933, until 2018, when this principle was upended by the Morrison government with the support of the then Labor opposition under pressure from Western Australia, which had become very unhappy at the way in which revenue from the GST was carved up among the states and territories. Now, the important point here is that for almost 70 years after the Grants Commission was established in the aftermath of the Wexit referendum, Western Australia was a major beneficiary of what was called horizontal fiscal equalisation. That is, the system recognised that during an extended period when the prices for Western Australia's major exports, gold, iron ore and the like, were very low, and they weren't exporting very much of them, whilst at the same time it cost a lot more on average to provide services to Western Australia's relatively small but widely dispersed population, Western Australia used to get a bigger share of whatever federal grants were going around than it would have if they had been distributed on the basis of population shares.
So what you're saying is that Western Australia is the state that's getting a better deal from the current GST system.
Well, the point, it's only Western Australia, because in principle, if one state gets more, then some or all of the others have to get less. In order to cajole the eastern states, as Western Australia likes to refer to the rest of the country as, in order to cajole the eastern states and territories into agreeing to something that would otherwise have made them significantly worse off, the Morrison government promised to top up from its own revenues the GST pool so that Western Australia could get what it wanted without any of the other states and territories getting less than they would have done had the government not given in to Western Australia's demands. And when this deal was first put together in 2018, it was thought that it would cost about $9 billion over 8 years to 2026-27. The problem is that the iron ore price didn't come back to earth as had been assumed in arriving at those estimates. Instead, it has stayed for the most part well above $100 US a ton. And the volumes of iron ore that Western Australia has been digging up and shipping out have also remained at much higher levels than had been assumed, so that the cost of placating Western Australia's greed, its unwillingness to accept the logic of the formula which had benefited it for more than 70 years, the cost to the federal government has now blown out to what's most recently been estimated at almost $60 billion over the 11 years to 2029-30. You know, the federal budget is in effect gifting Western Australia in 2025-26 $7 billion more than the Grants Commission reckons it needs to be able to provide the same standard of services to Western Australians whilst levying on Western Australians the same level of taxes as the average of all states and territories. And that is one of the reasons why Western Australia is the only state in the country that's continuing to run budget surpluses, whilst the federal government in particular is looking at budget deficits for the next 10 years.
Well, could you expand on what changes were made to the GST system in 2018?
Yes. Two major changes. The first is that instead of seeking to lift the fiscal capacity of each of the states and territories to that of the richest state, which had traditionally been either New South Wales or Victoria, but since the early 2000s had become Western Australia, instead of equalising the fiscal capacity of all the other states to Western Australia, they would only be equalised to the stronger of New South Wales or Victoria, which these days, given Victoria's problems, means New South Wales. And that means that if Western Australia is, as it has been and likely will be for the foreseeable future, the fiscally strongest state, it will continue to be able to provide its citizens with better public services and lower state taxes than everybody else. The second change that was made was that irrespective of the Grants Commission's findings as to what each state and territory needs to be able to provide the same standard of services whilst levying the same level of taxes as the average of all, Western Australia was guaranteed that it would never get less than 75% of an equal per capita distribution, that is one done on the basis of shares of the national population. And when the system is fully phased in, which it will be in 2026-27, Western Australia would never get less than the share that New South Wales got, which on current indications would be about 85% of what it would get under an equal per capita distribution. So this system has delivered billions of dollars in revenue that Western Australia doesn't need to be able to provide the same standard of services as all states while levying on them the same level of state taxation. That's been at the expense of the federal budget. And so the federal government, for example, says in response to calls for an increase in the job seeker allowance or in community rent assistance, we can't afford to do that, whilst at the same time it's giving $7 billion a year, rising to $8 billion in 2026-7 and beyond, to the richest state in the country so that its citizens can have better public services and lower taxes, and so that its government can run big budget surpluses while everyone else is running deficits.
And how do the changes affect states like New South Wales and Victoria in negative ways?
Well, at the moment they don't, because the deal that was done by the Morrison government with the support of the then Labor opposition in 2018 says that the other states and territories, including New South Wales, are guaranteed that they won't get any less than they would have done had the system not been changed to meet Western Australia's demands. Now, the cost of that guarantee is being met out of the federal budget. As I say, it was originally estimated to cost $9 billion over 8 years. We now know it's going to cost almost $60 billion over 11 years. That's the biggest blowout in the cost of any single policy decision, with the possible exception of the NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Scheme. As things stand, that no worse off guarantee is due to expire at the end of the 2029-30 financial year, which, if it isn't extended beyond that, as it has already been once by the Albanese government at the end of 2023, if it isn't extended, then the other states and territories, including New South Wales, will bear the cost cost of placating Western Australia's greed, and that will mean significant declines in the revenue they get from the GST from 2030-31 financial year onwards, unless the deal is scrapped or the federal government extends the no worse off guarantee.
And you're talking about the future just in the interview before. Going back to that, do you think there needs to be a change in the future with the GST system?
Well, yes, I think there does. I mean, I describe the decision that was made back in 2018 and extended by the Albanese government in 2023 as the worst public policy decision of the 21st century so far. That's because it entails the corruption of the purpose behind the biggest single spending program in the federal budget. And let me repeat that. The distribution of revenue from the GST to the states is the biggest single spending program in the federal budget. It's approaching $100 billion. It's more than the age pension. It's more than the NDIS. It's more than we spend on defense or healthcare. It's the biggest single spending program on the federal budget. It's one of the things that has made Australia a better and much more equal country than it otherwise would have been. And the blowout in the cost of appeasing Western Australia's greed is, as I say, the biggest blowout in any single policy decision ever, with the possible exception of the NDIS. And at least that is for a noble purpose, rather than, as this WAGST deal was, about retaining or regaining seats from Western Australia in the federal parliament, which is why both major parties agreed to it. There is, under the 2018 legislation, a requirement that the Productivity Commission investigate and report on whether this new system is working, and I'm quoting the legislation, efficiently, effectively, and as intended. That report's required by the end of 2026. Clearly, the system is not working as intended because it wasn't intended to cost the federal budget as much as it is now costing it. But there is an opportunity, I think, for the Federal Treasurer to ask the Productivity Commission to undertake a broader task, to recommend a way of achieving the objectives of horizontal fiscal equalisation, that is, to enable each state and territory to provide its citizens with the same standard of public services whilst levying on them a similar burden of state taxation as all the other states and territories, to achieve that objective in a simpler, more transparent, more comprehensible, and more predictable way than the somewhat black box model that has evolved under the auspices of the Commonwealth Grants Commission over the 90 years since it was first given that task. That, I think, would provide a way out of this dilemma and at the same time uphold what has been one of the foundational principles of Australian federalism for a very long period of time.
So, Eastlake, thank you.
That's a pleasure. Thank you for letting me explain that to your listeners.
Saul Eastlake, independent economist and Vice Chancellor's Fellow at the University of Tasmania, speaking with The Wire's Thomas Kutis.